It's Genesis chapter 5, first of all, the book of Genesis, chapter number 5. And then we're going over to the New Testament to a couple of references there as well. Genesis chapter 5, first of all, and then the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, and then the little epistle of Jude, and a couple of verses there. But first of all, Genesis chapter number 5, verse 21. Genesis 5, verse 21. Genesis 5:21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then we'll go over to the book of Hebrews, please. Chapter number 11, just towards the end of the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, and just one verse, Hebrews 11, verse 5, again speaking of Enoch, the man of God, Hebrews 11, verse number 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. And then lastly, the little epistle of Jude, just immediately before the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible but one, just one chapter, the little epistle of Jude, verses 14 and 15. Jude, verse 14 and verse number 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. We know that the Lord will bless this public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. I just want to speak this morning upon Enoch, the man and his God. Enoch, the man and his God. We'll still our hearts briefly, seeking the Lord together in prayer. Pray that the Lord will speak to your heart this morning, and that the Lord will bless even the word of God as it goes forth. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank thee today for thy word. We thank thee, Lord, that we're told that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And Lord, we know, Father, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and truly furnished unto every good work. We pray today that the word of God will come as, Lord, the dew from heaven to every soul. We pray that thou wilt encourage those who know and love the Lord. We pray, Father God, whether we're young in the faith or whether we're mature, that, Lord, we'll hear thy voice and that thou wilt speak to us. I ask today, O God, again for that peculiar anointing of thy Spirit. I ask, Lord, that thou wilt hide me behind the cross, and that honour and praise and glory will be brought to the person of Jesus Christ and of Jesus Christ alone. We ask all these things in his name and for God's everlasting glory. Amen. Sometimes the tendency is, whenever we look at Christian history or read Christian biographies of the great men and women of God, it seems that we could be very tempted to think that to succeed in the Christian life and to accomplish anything for God, we need to be especially gifted or perhaps intellectual, or be able to stand for God and do wonderful exploits for God. And sometimes that testimony is of Christian biographies that the people that we read about were gifted theologically, They were gifted intellectually. They had a special gifts and abilities. And we could be tempted to think it was no wonder that God used such people in such a way because of their talents and because of their gifts and because of their ability. It seems that God has gifted to His church so many that were gifted with great minds and were able to dissect the Word of God and able to discern theology and doctrine and able to present it in such a way that we would be able to think that no wonder God used them. They were such great minds. But you know, the wonderful thing is that the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, towards the end of the chapter, that God hath chosen the foolish things of this world. And God has chosen the weak things. And God has chosen the base things. And God has chosen the things that are despised to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. And so while it's easy to look at history, and it's easy to read biographies of great men and women of God, more often than not, God just uses the ordinary people, the common 5/8. Whenever you look at the Lord's disciples, many of them were just people that were hands-on, fishermen, tax collectors, and so on and so forth. And it seems to me that the Lord honors simple, childlike faith. God honors those that walk with Him in simplicity. And while it is important to know what the Bible teaches, it's equally important and of fundamental importance that we never lose the simplicity of simple, childlike faith, just walking with God. And whenever we read about this man that we've read about in Genesis, in Jude, and in the book of Hebrews, we read about a man. And there's little said about this man, and his testimony is very simple. Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Very little is said about Enoch in Scripture. And in fact, we've read everything that the Bible says about this man of God, Enoch, in these few 4 or 5 verses. Little is said, but there is much depth about what is said concerning God's servant Enoch. Now, the name Enoch, it literally means experienced or initiated. Now, if you're familiar with theology and with doctrine, you might be aware that whenever God revealed Himself in creation, right up until the end of the Bible, until the completion of Scripture, God revealed Himself progressively. And so whenever you read throughout the Old Testament, God was revealing Himself again and again and again and again. He revealed Himself in creation. He revealed Himself in the consciences of men. He revealed Himself by way of supernatural appearances to the patriarchs. And He also revealed Himself in the whole Old Testament system. The tabernacle, the priesthood, the feasts, the laws, the offerings, all pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then throughout the ministry and the life and the work of the Savior, God was again revealing Himself in a very open and in a very intricate way in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He continued to reveal Himself to the apostles, and throughout the New Testament the epistles were written, until we have this book, a closed volume. And everything that God wants to say to a fallen world is found within the pages of Scripture. And yet back there in Genesis chapter 5, we read about a man called Enoch. And if God has revealed Himself progressively, Enoch didn't have the privileges that people had that lived after Enoch. And yet it tells us that Enoch walked with God. His name means experienced, initiated. Enoch was a man that experienced God in a very intricate way, and yet in a very simple way. And I just want to speak today about Enoch, the man and his God. First of all, very simply, I want you to notice that Enoch had a personal walk with God. That's what we're told twice in Genesis 5, verse 22. Enoch walked with God. Then verse 24, Enoch walked with God. I wonder in the meeting, is there anybody that's ever met a man that stands out as being somebody that just walks with God? You can often tell whenever a person is in fellowship and communion with God. That's really what this is speaking about. Enoch walked in fellowship, he walked in communion with God. Now, in my short life so far, my short Christian life, I've had the privilege of meeting men that maybe didn't know a lot of doctrine, but what they did know, they acted upon it and they were obedient. And they walked with God. I'm thinking of one man in particular who, whenever I began to attend the Free Presbyterian Church, this rather small man, just about 5 feet tall, would come every Monday night and he would sit beside me in the prayer meeting. And he would encourage me to pray. And he would just talk about the Lord. And he lived in a little cottage out in the countryside, up a little stone lane, and it was just a very simple dwelling place with a corrugated iron roof and a few shabby little outhouses round about it, and a dog tied up outside his front door. But as I got to know this old man, I discovered that there was something different. While many people talked about spiritual things, this man experienced them. Out at the back of his home, he had an old field, and there was a beaten track in that field, and he would rise up from his bed in the mornings, he would put on a coat, and he would just go out and walk up and down, and he would just talk to the Lord. And I'll tell you, it made a difference in his life. I received a phone call from a man this morning, somebody that I've only met twice in my life, but I've heard a lot about this particular man. He conducts missions round about the country in a little portable hall, and I met him at a mission that I was doing down in Ballygally not a lot long ago. And he came out one night and he was a wonderful encourager. But he rang me this morning just to say that I was out on the mountain, some mountains behind his home. And he says, I was just go out there to talk to the Lord. And I just want you to know that I was praying for you. Very simple man. Maybe not a theologian. But yet he walks with God. Enoch walked with God. And I would suggest to everybody in the meeting that the reason that the Son of God died upon a cross was that we might walk with God. This is what Christianity is, folks. As I've said so many times, it's not merely a get out of hell free ticket. It's not merely a passport to heaven. But the reason that the Son of God lived for us, died for us, and rose again for us is that we might walk with God. John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only wise God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You see, God wants us to walk with him. God sent his Son so that men and women could come to know God. That they would walk with God, that they would talk with God, that they would experience God. And the only way we can possibly know God is to know Jesus Christ intimately and know him personally. You see, this isn't about religion today. This is about relationship. It's about regeneration. It's about reality. It's about being born into God's family, born again into the family of God, coming to a relationship with the living God who knows us intimately, who cares about us, who loves us, who sent his Son to set us free that we might fellowship with the Lord. This is the teaching of the Bible. Colossians 2:6. Paul says, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And so what Paul is saying to this young church of believers, he's saying, listen, you've received the Lord. You've received Christ as Savior. That's only the start. Walk in him. Walk with him. Just as a little child is born into the world and for a while it maybe needs looked after, it needs tended to, it's not long before that little child is trying to find its feet. And we've seen that in a very real way in our own home. Our little girl Sarah, and it wasn't long before she's just up on her feet and she's walking and I'm running after her and she's running away ahead and I remember saying to Elaine on her summer holidays, I feel like I'm about 90, trying to keep up with this wee thing, and she's running about, and that's evidence of life, beginning to walk. And so Paul's saying, whenever you're born again, he says you'll begin to try and find your feet. And maybe today you're just a young convert, and there'll be times you'll try and find your feet, and you'll fall, and you'll maybe fall at the first hurdle and the devil will get in and say, you're not a Christian at all. Well, if you just look at a little child, it'll fall hundreds of times. And the child of God will fall again and again and will let the Lord down and will confess that. And then sometimes we'll even go back to the same old thing, and we just need to continue picking ourselves up. Walk with the Lord. Romans 6 verse 4, it tells us that we should walk in newness of life. Ephesians 4 verse number 1, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. 1 John 1 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. And that's just what Enoch did. Whatever light God gave him, he walked in that light. And beloved, that's just what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord gives us a little bit of light. He wants us to walk in that light. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't really know all that much. And I don't really understand the Bible. And I really don't really understand the whole teaching of Scripture. And I read things I can't understand. And I'm not like some others who seem to be able to read the Bible and just get so much out of it. Well, the Lord says, just walk in the light. And you'll discover, if God gives you a little bit of light and you walk in the light of what God has said, God will reveal himself to you again. You see, there's no point God telling us he wants us to do great things if we can't even do the small things that God has asked us to do. You'll discover that in the Word, God says that we're to pray. And whatever God says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray without ceasing. Pray continually. Be careful for nothing, but in all things, with thanksgiving, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. God is calling us to pray, and that's light. And so God's saying, pray, so we walk in the light. Okay, God has told me to pray, I'm going to pray. And then the Bible says, search the Scriptures. I want you to spend time just in the Word of God, and so we just obey the Lord. And whenever the demoniac was converted, the Lord said to him, go home to thy friends and tell them what wonderful things the Lord hath done for thee and has had compassion on thee. And that's what he did. The Lord gave him a little bit of light, just a little. And he just walked according to the light. You see, the Bible says that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And it will only light up the few steps that are before us. We would love to be able to see into the future and know what the next 10 or 20 years are going to hold for us. But that's not the way God works. He leads us one day at a time, one step at a time, and we just walk in the light. And it's as we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, I used to think as a young Christian that whenever the Bible said that in 1 John 1, 7, fellowship one with another, it meant fellowship with God's people. I suppose it has that application, but it really means we have fellowship with the one who is in the light. Fellowship with God. Again, the Lord said, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only wise God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Enoch had a personal walk with God, a relationship. Enoch knew the Lord, he walked with God. Personal thing. Whenever, I've said it before, but maybe for some that haven't been here, whenever it's been said, whenever the Reverend Duncan Campbell went to the Isle of Lewis to conduct just a gospel mission, and through that God sent revival. You see, sometimes whenever we come through a little time of blessing, I've experienced it myself, whether it's been in a youth fellowship weekend or some week of meetings or some conference or a gospel mission, and it comes to an end, we tend to think, well, that blessing's gone and now it's back to porridge. But very often the Lord just wants us to see what he can do and who he is. That we mightn't lose the blessing, but we might continue on in that same spirit. And that's what the Lord did. In the Isles of Lewis, when he sent revival, there was a mission, and it just snowballed and it began to grow. You see, just because we've enjoyed the Lord's presence over the last 2 weeks doesn't mean that that has to stop. And those old elders from the parish of Barvis, they asked Duncan Campbell the question as he got off the ferry, Mr. Campbell, are you walking with God? See, this is the most important thing. if we've received the Lord, that we just walk with Him. We don't go a step in front, we don't lag behind, we just go at the pace that the Lord wants us to go at. Sometimes Christians can get discouraged, even young Christians. And they get converted, and somebody else gets converted, and somebody else gets saved, and they look around and they begin to see, well, that person's got more enthusiasm, more feeling, more excitement than I have. And then they get discouraged because they look at somebody else's experience and it's maybe not their experience, but the Lord just wants us to walk with Him. And you'll discover that whatever God has for you is entirely unique to you as an individual. And so don't be looking around and thinking, how are others getting on? But just keep in step with the Lord. Just be like Enoch. Walk with Him. Enoch had a personal walk with God. And then, secondly, Enoch pleased the Lord. And that's a very simple thing. It tells us that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. God just caught him up into heaven. But it says before that happened, this was his testimony. He pleased the Lord. That's what a testimony is. Enoch pleased the Lord. You see, my testimony isn't what I was 10 years ago or 15 years ago. Or my testimony isn't what I was before I became a Christian. My testimony is what I am right now. My testimony is what I will be tomorrow morning. What I will be on Tuesday, Wednesday, right throughout the course of the week. This is our testimony. We all have a testimony before the world. A testimony is not so much standing up in a meeting and telling people how we get saved. That may be part of it. That may be called giving your testimony. But a testimony is what we are before the world. You see, Paul says that we are living epistles, known and read of men. He was writing to a church. He was writing a letter. He was writing an epistle. But he says, you know, as I write this letter to you, I want you to know that as you read this letter and as you learn what God is like through reading this letter, you are living letters and the world gets a picture of what God is like by your lifestyle. And Enoch pleased the Lord, and it all stems from this fact that he walked with the Lord. Enoch pleased the Lord. And so if God told Enoch to do something, Enoch did it. And that pleased the Lord. God is happy with us whenever we obey Him. And if God told Enoch not to do something, then Enoch just didn't do that. He wanted to please the Lord. He had this testimony that he pleased the Lord. You see, if somebody was to ask, looking on at Enoch, what's that man's testimony? I don't know if anybody could have really said much about Enoch's life before he met the Lord, before the Lord called him. There's nothing said of that in Scripture. But people could have said, well, I'll tell you one thing about Enoch. He pleases God. You see, I used to think as a young convert, as a young Christian growing up through the system, that a good testimony was a person who had been in prison. Or a good testimony was a person who had been a drug addict, or a drunkard, or an alcoholic, or a gambler, or a wife beater, or somebody that was involved in the paramilitaries, or some street gang, and they went out and they punched the heads off people, and they woke up the next morning and they couldn't remember what had been the night before, and then all of a sudden they were converted. And I used to sit back and think, that's wonderful, and it is. Oh, to God that we saw more of that in these days, people being converted from all sorts of backgrounds like that, but the testimony that the Lord wants is what happens after conversion. Pleasing the Lord. You see, maybe today you think, well, I don't really have one of these bloodthirsty testimonies. God could never use me. Well, Enoch's testimony was that he walked with God and that he pleased God. Not what he was before, but what he is now. You see, Enoch now is a man of God. It's not what he was saved from that counts, but what he was saved unto. And Enoch pleased the Lord. You know, I'm sure many of God's people today would be thrilled if you could put that epitaph on our headstones. pleased the Lord. And that people would know that that was true. And that whenever it comes our time for our funeral service, and whenever we're about to be buried, that the little man that stands in the pulpit would be able to say, you know, he was a good Christian or she was a good Christian. And people would be able to say amen to that. Not just to comfort the family. You see, maybe you think, well, preacher, I don't have great gift. I don't have great ability. I don't have great intellect. I could never even pray publicly in a prayer meeting. I couldn't stand in an open air and give my testimony. I couldn't stand up before a crowd of people and open the Bible, or I don't even think I could go to the mission field, and I even find it difficult in the workplace to take a stand for the Lord. But you can please the Lord. People will see that. This is Christianity. Not to be men pleasers, but pleasers of God. I remember somebody telling me as a young Christian, it wasn't a Free Presbyterian, but this person said, you know, in reality, you've only one voice to listen to. You'll get advice from all sorts of different places. And people will tell you to go here, and they'll tell you to do this, and they'll tell you to do that, but just listen to the Lord. Men can give advice, that's true. But Leonard Ravenhill, again, I quote him, I suppose, almost every week, he said, men give advice, but God gives guidance. And you could come to me with a burden, with a problem, and I would be so glad to help you and talk to you, but I could advise you, but you see, whenever you walk with the Lord and you please the Lord, the Lord will make His way clear to you. We ought to be pleasers of God rather than pleasers of men. And it's just like whenever a little child comes to its father and that father asks the child to do something and the child is obedient, it pleases the father. There's a story I seem to have read a couple of times recently, and maybe the family devotional book that we use, and then the little devotional book that I use myself, about a little girl, and she had a string of plastic beads around her neck, a little cheap necklace, maybe got it in the pound shop or out of an egg, out of one of those machines, and she just loved this little necklace. And then one day her father came to her and he says, now I want you to take that necklace off and I want you to give it to me and I'm going to keep it. And she loved her little cheap necklace, and she loved her father as well, and so she was kind of stuck. And eventually she realized that, well, my father would never ask me to do something that would be bad for me. So she took off the necklace, and with tears in her eyes, she gave it over. And he put it in his pocket. And then he put his hand into his other pocket, and he handed her a little velvet bag. And she reached in, and there was a string of pearls in the bag. And she realized that her father could be trusted. And that her father would bless her so long as she pleased him. You see, I have discovered in the Christian life that the Lord never takes something away from you without giving you something better in its place. And if we have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, faith just to trust the Lord, God is pleased with that. Hebrews 11:6, after we read about Enoch, and it's interesting that the next verse says, concerning Enoch, evidently just drawing on the lesson from his faith, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith. What is faith? Faith is just believing what God says he will do. And we read about the faith of Enoch. He pleased the Lord. And God is pleased with us whenever we are pleased with him. As John Piper, the American preacher, says, God is most glorified in me whenever I am most satisfied in him. Christian, let me ask you, can you say with conviction that you seek to do those things that please the Lord? Are you walking with God? See, it's not today about how much you know, how much you have in your head. It's so important to learn the Word of God and to know what we believe and to learn truth and to learn doctrine. I don't despise that. That's needful. But it's more important to know Him. Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He didn't say, I know something about what the Bible teaches, but he says, I know whom I have believed. I know him. And then in Philippians 3:10, he says, that I may know him. So he's looking to the future and he realizes that, yes, I know him now, but I have a desire to know him more and the power of his resurrection. You see, we read about Enoch. He had a personal walk with God and he pleased the Lord. And I had about 6 or 7 points here, but I think I'll just finish there. There's maybe just enough the food just to keep you going. And we trust that you'll walk with God, that you'll please the Lord, and you'll go through with the Lord in these days. God willing, next Lord's Day, we'll think again about old Enoch, the man and his God. Very simple thoughts this morning, and I know that maybe it hasn't been anything new for some, but I just wanted to speak about Enoch, even for the sake of some who perhaps are young in the faith. 408 is our closing hymn. Number 408, Nearer, Still Nearer, Close to Thy Heart, Draw Me, My Saviour, So Precious Thou Art. 408, we'll stand together as we sing the hymn.